It's Saturday, April 11th, and welcome to Higher IQ. If you've been following the Iran conflict, you've heard a lot about oil prices, the Strait of Hormuz, and the dollar. But there's a deeper question underneath all of it that most coverage skips past. Why is oil priced in dollars at all? Why does a commodity that comes out of the ground in Saudi Arabia, pumped by Saudi workers, sold to Chinese refineries, get bought and sold in the currency of a country 6,000 miles away? The answer involves a secret deal, a failing currency, and one of the most consequential handshakes in modern economic history. To understand the petrodollar, you have to start with what came before it. After World War II, the world's major economies agreed to a system called Bretton Woods, named after the New Hampshire town where 44 nations signed the deal in 1944. Under Bretton Woods, the US dollar was pegged to gold at $35 per ounce. And every other major currency was pegged to the dollar. If France or Japan wanted to, they could trade their dollars for gold at that fixed rate. The dollar was as good as gold because it literally was gold, just in paper form. The system worked for about 25 years. Then it broke. By the late 1960s, the US was spending heavily on Vietnam and on domestic programs, running deficits, and printing more dollars than it had gold to back. Foreign governments noticed and started demanding gold for their dollars. France sent a warship to New York to collect its gold. The U.S. gold reserves were draining fast. On August 15, 1971, President Nixon went on television and announced that the U.S. would no longer convert dollars to gold. The Bretton Woods system was dead. The dollar was now backed by nothing but the full faith and credit of the United States government, which at that particular moment wasn't worth what it used to be. This created an immediate problem. If the dollar was no longer tied to gold, why would any country hold large reserves of dollars? The artificial global demand for the currency that had sustained American spending for decades was evaporating. Inflation surged, the dollar weakened, the US needed a new reason for the world to want dollars. Then came the 1973 oil crisis. After the US supported Israel during the Yom Kippur War, OPEC imposed an oil embargo on the U.S. and its allies. Oil prices quadrupled in months. The American economy was staggering under inflation, energy shortages, and a currency losing credibility. But Secretary of State Henry Kissinger saw an opportunity inside the crisis. In 1974, Kissinger and Treasury Secretary William Simon brokered a deal with Saudi Arabia's King Faisal. The agreement, which was kept secret for over 40 years and only declassified in 2016, established a framework for U.S.-Saudi economic cooperation. The public details covered technology transfer, infrastructure development, and military sales. The unpublicized understanding was more consequential. Saudi Arabia would price its oil exclusively in U.S. dollars, and it would invest its surplus oil revenues in U.S. Treasury bonds. In return, the U.S. would provide military protection for Saudi Arabia's oil fields and sell it advanced weapons systems. Within a year, every OPEC nation had agreed to price its oil in dollars. The logic cascaded outward. If you were Japan and you wanted to buy oil from Saudi Arabia, you needed dollars. If you were Germany and you wanted to buy oil from Kuwait, you needed dollars. Every oil-importing country on Earth now had to maintain large reserves of U.S. dollars, regardless of its own currency or its trade relationship with the United States. The demand for dollars that had been anchored by gold was now anchored by oil, the single most traded commodity in the world. Kissinger called the process of oil-producing nations funneling their dollar surpluses back into U.S. government debt petrodollar recycling. The term sounds technical, but the mechanics are simple. Saudi Arabia sells oil and receives dollars. It can't spend all those dollars domestically because its economy is relatively small, so it buys U.S. Treasury bonds, which effectively loans that money back to the American government. The U.S. government uses it to fund spending. The cycle repeats. American consumers buy oil, dollars flow to the Gulf, and the Gulf sends the money back by buying American debt. The whole system is a loop, and the loop has kept the dollar at the center of global finance for 50 years. This arrangement gave the U.S. what French Finance Minister Valéry Giscard d'Estaing called an exorbitant privilege. Because every country needs dollars to buy oil, the U.S. can run trade deficits that would cripple any other nation. It can borrow at lower interest rates because there's always demand for treasury bonds from oil exporters. It can impose financial sanctions that actually bite because being cut off from the dollar system means being cut off from the ability to buy energy on the global market. The U.S. military presence across the Persian Gulf, in Bahrain, Qatar, Kuwait, the UAE, Saudi Arabia, isn't just about security. It's about protecting the infrastructure of the currency system. This is also why every conflict in the Middle East is automatically a dollar conflict. When Iran closed the Strait of Hormuz last month, it wasn't just choking off 20% of the world's oil. It was disrupting the mechanism that forces the world to use dollars. When Iraq's Saddam Hussein announced in 2000 that he would start pricing Iraqi oil in euros instead of dollars, it was treated in Washington as a strategic threat, and Iraq was invaded 3 years later. When Libya's Muammar Gaddafi proposed a gold-backed African currency for oil transactions in 2009, it drew alarm from Western capitals, and Gaddafi was overthrown 2 years later. Correlation isn't causation, and these conflicts had many drivers, but the pattern is hard to ignore. Countries that threaten to price oil outside the dollar system tend to find themselves in serious trouble. The petrodollar system has been weakening gradually. China and Russia have conducted increasing volumes of oil trade in yuan and rubles. Saudi Arabia itself has reportedly explored accepting yuan for Chinese oil purchases. In June 2024, reports emerged that a 50-year economic agreement between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia had expired without formal renewal, though the practical arrangements have largely continued. The system persists less because of any single agreement and more because of inertia. The dollar is used for oil because the dollar is used for oil. Replacing it would require a viable alternative that no single currency currently offers. But the Iran war has stress-tested the system in ways that haven't been seen since the 1970s. Oil prices spiking 65%, shipping lanes closed, allied Gulf states' infrastructure damaged by Iranian retaliation. The petrodollar was designed to ensure stability. The current crisis is revealing what happens when the military guarantee at the heart of the deal gets tested in real time. So if this comes up in conversation, here's how to think about it. When Nixon took the dollar off gold in 1971, the U.S. needed a new reason for the world to hold dollars. Kissinger made a deal with Saudi Arabia. Price your oil in dollars, invest the profits in treasury bonds, and we'll protect your oil fields. By 1975, every OPEC nation had agreed. The result is that every country on Earth needs dollars to buy energy, which is why the U.S. can run deficits no other country could survive, and why every oil conflict is also a currency conflict. The system has held for 50 years. The current war is the most serious test it's faced since the day it was created. Stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.